Campbell.
Here.
Vice President Sabati.
Here.
And President Shelley has an excused absence.
Oh, good. I hope he sent us a note. So we have a quorum, we can start. First of all, any public comments? Yes?
Yes.
My name's Diane Franco, and I've got something I'm going to do you guys after I speak. I'm speaking about the bill I just got. I'm a single retired teacher who has a cabin over at Lake and Meadow area that I've had for 37 years. I come up here every June through November, most of that time. It's my heart, it's my love, beside my grandkids. It's 900 square feet, no outside irrigation, and my bill was $100.31 this month. But when I read the bill, it says that my water usage was $7.53. I do one load of laundry a week. It's me. That's it. I don't have a dishwasher, nothing else. I'm paying $100.48. I know you guys realize this is happening. $92.88 is sewer and monthly base fee. My other house is in La Quinta in the desert. It's 2,000 square feet. It's still only me. Outside irrigation, desertscape, outside irrigation. Irrigation goes on twice a day for about 7 minutes a day. My bill was $23.49. And with it's Coachella Valley Water, at the bottom of our bills is always stamped our rating, our efficiency rating. It can be efficient, it can be excellent. I don't know what else they stamp because I'm always either efficient or excellent, and this month it said efficient. I do pay $28 in addition to this 23. I pay 28 a month for sewer, but that goes in my property tax bill yearly, so I don't see that on this bill. And you won't because I'm getting one copy. I think it's pretty outrageous and insulting. I understand an outside firm somehow was called in to do this. I did sign the letter that I deposited in the box out here. I don't know what can be done about it. I certainly don't feel represented by you guys. I'm 76, I've worked my whole life for that little place, and I feel pretty much like I'm represented by some outside firm who what was going on in Idaho. So, thank you for listening. I'll give you a copy of my $100.41 Idaho bill for my 900 square foot cabin and my $23 bill for my 2,000 square foot house. Oops, man, that's mine.
That's your regional?
Yeah, that's my regional.
The one that says mine at the top?
I know, the one I wasn't supposed to pass out. Just wanted to go on the record, guys.
What has been your bill in the past with Idaho?
It was always, I thought, high, about probably went around 79.
So 79 to 100.
Yeah. I'd have to look that up, but I think that's what you told us.
All right, so we do appreciate your telling us this. And in spite of what you say, we do care. I think you probably recognize that we have to put a new sewer in. It's going to cost a great deal of money. And we put the rate increase to a public vote and the public approved. However, in the event, I will ask Leo to check your bill if there was any mistake made. By all means, we are more than glad to correct. Okay, any other public comment? Let's proceed on to the review of the agenda for last meeting.
Minutes.
Minutes, yeah. Is there any comment on that?
No.
So, Vice President Sabati?
Yeah.
I do have a request by staff to add an item to the agenda.
Yes.
Which I'd like to put before the board now, if that's okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
Thank you. So pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.2, subsection B, there is an opportunity to put an action item on the agenda for specific circumstances. Here, we are asking that the board put an action item on the agenda because the action is required to take place immediately. And this item came to the attention of the district after the posting of the agenda. This item is for the approval of a bid for repairs to the roof at the wastewater treatment plant that was recently damaged. The district went through the process of collecting estimates for the roof repair work. However, the bids didn't come in, or the estimates didn't come in until yesterday, after we had posted the agenda last Friday. So we are seeking board concurrence. We need a unanimous vote. And this would be a vote based on findings that there is immediate action needed on this item, and that this item came to the attention of the district after the posting of the agenda on Friday. Once we have a unanimous vote, we can add it to the agenda under action items, and then we can discuss it for approval or denial at that time.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to put that item on our agenda.
Motion to put it on the agenda.
Any seconds?
I second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All in, three in favor, no opposition.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Going back to the minutes of the last meeting, are there any comments on the minutes?
No.
I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Any seconds?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, now we proceed to the uncontested items, which is first the financial reports. Any comments on the financial reports?
No.
Any comment, any public comments?
Yeah,
you have?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
On the warrants, let me get to that page there.
Steve, can you tell us what page that's on?
There is no page number on it, but
just show me.
It's a long list. You can barely read it. Like the fourth one down, it's like to U.S. Bank Corporate Payment System. What is that for?
The credit card. There's stuff for the credit card for U.S. Bank.
And there's, I guess when the checks are signed, whoever was signing the checks, they see an itemized list for all that?
Yeah, because each one is has a line. But he purchased some stuff for the sensor from what's named Hark Company. That's why kind of it. But this is the credit card.
Yeah, because there was, I think, two on this page. There's one at the top that we're looking at, and then down about five or six from the bottom there for another 16.
Yeah, months. The credit card. One in the beginning months and one in the beginning months for next months.
Okay. Probably about a third of the way down. Check number 17882 to Keenan Electric?
Yeah.
What was that for?
This for Ken, right? Is that again? What is it?
Dave Kenyon, looks like
Dave Kenyon. Dave Kenyon.
Yeah, oh, for the office over there, right?
How much is this one?
It's $1,620.
Oh, this is the switch for the sewer. Yeah. Then use they have to do the switch, transfer switch for the generator.
Okay, so it's just under the fixing and repair electric?
Yes.
IWD?
Yes.
Okay, then that's all I have on this.
Okay, any public comment on the financial?
I have a question. I see you guys had a Mountain High escrow. So I'm assuming you guys, is that because of the property or something that you?
Yes.
Okay, so you came to an agreement on that?
Yes.
Because I know you had several closed sessions, but I didn't see anything in any of the minutes of the agreement.
Yeah, we came to an agreement with the art school. And we've been into escrow, and everything's signed, sealed, delivered. The only thing we're waiting on now before the escrow can actually officially close
is the county approving the lot line adjustment, which is basically a rubber stamp, but it takes them months to do it.
I just didn't realize, I knew you guys were doing a lot of closed sessions, I didn't know you were coming to an agreement, that's all.
Oh, it will be in an open session when it will be approved.
I'm sorry?
When we actually approve the contract, it will be in an open session. Let me move on to the operation report. Steve?
No.
Steve, Mr. Kunkel?
Well, with the exception of, I take it back, I do. The calculation that we're using, and this is rehashing, the calculation that indicates that we're at 77% of the total capacity, I think is an erroneous figure. And I just think we need to get a better handle on that because I don't think that we were anywhere near that.
I'm planning to discuss that to some extent in the director's report, but we've been trying to work on that because obviously we all agree that the criteria established previously doesn't make any sense. Mr. Kunkel, were there any questions at all?
No.
They'll move a motion to approve the financial report and the operations report.
Consent.
Go ahead, you make the motion.
Oh, I'll make a motion to approve the operations report and financial reports.
And I will second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes 3-0. General manager's report.
Butters. They're actually really fun to watch.
Yeah. Give them a razor. So, Mr. Brown, what?
Finances, you see a red line going straight up. And Hosni, what did we do here?
The electric.
Thank you, the electric bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many months?
8 months.
8 months. So anyway, other than that, and it shows again on the water, same scenario, same thing on the sewer. So just wanted to kind of point that out. That's, we pay it now, we won't pay it until God knows when.
So, quick question, why does Edison do that?
We have no idea. Honest to God, there is no answer to that. There's no reason that we should, but it's just what they do.
And just for clarification purposes, you will see when the audited financial statements come out that those expenses are accrued for on a monthly basis or as of year end,
right.
June 30th. This is on a cash basis.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, water. Using a little less than we did last month, but we're higher than the average and higher than last year in the way of water usage. Wastewater, the daily flow was up. That's that blue dot. That's always a month behind, farther than the water is. It just has to do with reporting requirements. So that's actually up a little. Wastewater tree removal, we had a tree fall, and it actually fell on our building, caused some pretty good damage. Even damaged our generator to a small extent. So we got 16 trees that are considered problematic and they're being removed. It's gonna cost $24,000.
I consider this to be an emergency because it all happened during the storm. It actually exceeds my authorization. So I'm letting you know I exceeded my authorization, but we have to get these things out of the way before they can fall again. That is the just one of the several trees that fell.
And these are all dead trees.
That's the one that fell on the building.
There now,
yeah.
Mr. Olson asked about it in the sim, and he said it's something fall. So then it's the sewer, but I didn't know how it damaged it.
Yep. So you can see it did a pretty good job there. And a lot of the trees that you see right near the building are what we're talking about getting rid of, because several of them are leaning. We had somebody come out and take a look, and they're going, these should go. So another storm might have done more damage. We don't want to take that chance. The wastewater project. Purchased the property. We're waiting for the county to approve the lot line adjustment. Once that's done, escrow closes. We have control of the property, and we're good to go. 30% of the engineering. Vice President Sabatia and I talked with the engineer a couple weeks ago. The 30% should be done in the next couple of months. One of the things they have to do is they have to go out on site and do some bore drilling and get some bore samples. And that has to do with the engineering and design of the project. Potential funding options are still being explored. We got some information that we have to provide in an effort to go after grant funding. And we still can't go after the grant funding until 30% of the engineering is 100% complete. And the technical work, you know, the bore drilling, the CEQA has to be done on the property. Foster Lake Tank 1 is getting recoded. I think I mentioned it before. That's the truck that has the chemicals there, right?
That's for the GAC.
This is the GAC.
Yeah, this is the media company.
Okay, I put this in the wrong spot.
For 35 South.
Yeah, this was $35,000. This is the new granule activated carbon.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And it came in that. This is when they're actually doing the work on the tank itself. You can see a little bit of the process, blow stuff out. This is what it looks like when they pretty much got it done. So it looks a lot better than it did. I don't really have any before, but we've seen before. This is basically at the floor level. California Water Boards, we actually received a certificate for being recognized for reporting requirements during the drought. So, it does. It's an overview. We've done the valve exercising. Joe and his crew got that all done district-wide. The water and sewer rates are reflected on the August bill. I think we heard about that just a few minutes ago. Foster Lake Tank should be completed
next week.
Okay. Requiring bids for the lower administration building remodel. The annual finance audit is actually
done.
Completed.
Yeah.
So
not an issue.
It's completed. It's not an issue. It was ongoing when I did this, but it has been completed since. We got a good clean bill of health. That'll be coming next month. The raw water pipeline phase two, that'll begin the last week of September. That's the one on Jameson? Yeah, it is Jameson. And we got some repairs to the sewer collection system. We're going to start those pretty soon. We also have some tree roots and grease that needs to be removed. And we have some areas that have some I&I, and we're looking at trying to get those sealed up. So those will be things that we'll be doing basically throughout the year. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. I'll be open.
A couple questions.
Yeah. Wait a minute, hold on. Public comments.
Okay.
Go ahead.
A couple questions there. I realize that, you know, the Foster tank is already on the recoding side, but most old gear tanks are good for 20, 25 years. What is the age of that tank now?
I'd have to look. I don't have an answer for that, but you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And they will eventually have to be replaced, and it would be. We haven't talked about this, but I think it's our desire to have it replaced in a more permanent way. So
no, I just understand. Asking this, the next time, so, hey, they get it recoded, maybe it'd be cheaper to replace.
Replacing is not cheap.
No. Oh, I know.
No, no, it's not cheap at all. That'll take an entire budget just to get one tank. Okay. CIP budget. Yeah. But yes, we absolutely agree with you. But these, I will be candid, these tanks are actually in really good shape. So I don't know the age of them, but they are in good shape. I can tell you that I've seen tanks where they're elephant footed. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that's a scary thing, because you walk between it and you just feel like if you went like this to it, it would blow up. So we're not going to get anywhere near that, I assure you. But right now, all the tanks are in good shape.
Okay. Second question was on valve exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody listen to see if any of them are leaking when you close them there? Or reason why?
Observe it. Yeah. And
no, I always just use a screwdriver. I put a screwdriver on there and put my ear on there. You can hear it hissing if it's leaking, if it's not.
So it acts like a little stethoscope?
Yeah. It's a mechanics trick.
That's pretty cool. I learned something new tonight.
That's what all of us use as a stethoscope, screwdriver.
Oh,
anyways, no, the reason why I asked also is because, we're using all dry barrel hydrants around here. And, how does anybody know if they're leaking, if the foot valve's leaking or not?
That's exactly how. When we exercise, we can hear it.
The other thing is,
as far as I know, we don't have any leaking.
And the other thing we're doing is we're going to be starting the fire hydrant exercising. That's the next thing we're going to do. So we'll be inspecting all those as we go.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
On the fire hydrants, does the fire department try them out?
I have no comment about that.
Oh, okay.
Well, we provide water for the fire department for their own exercises. I don't know if they actually check the hydrant.
Well, we maintain them.
If
something's wrong with it, when we maintain them, we fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
And if not, put a black bag over it.
If so they, it's up to the water department rather than the fire department.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If they inform us that they know of one that's not in good shape and they inform us of it, we take care of it. Okay. Any other questions?
This is a question, for the fire department. I say, again, we have fire departments from all around. Do they really understand the difference on operating a dry hydrant versus a wet hydrant?
Hopefully, after all these years.
We would hope they do, but I can't guarantee that they do. I mean,
firefighters, you get different firefighters that come in, so maybe some that,
Yeah, that's
like visiting ones. Or
hopefully, we'll never have to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we found out once or twice already. So,
so difference between a dry hydrant and a wet hydrant, I haven't heard that before. What is that?
So, could you kind of give me more of a detail about what that is?
Dry barrel, the barrel's dry, so it doesn't freeze. So, it has deep holes in the bottom.
At altitude in the mountains, we need dry hydrants, so they don't freeze over in the middle.
So you have to start it differently.
There needs to be a different protocol for using it correctly and not screwing it up.
Right.
Yes.
Well, the big difference is a dry barrel, you have to open up all the way or none of the way. A wet barrel, you can throttle.
Yeah. But like Jessica just said, when we get people up here, they don't always know what they're doing.
Or even the county, probably you guys might have that problem if they close it down too fast or hammering it.
Yeah, we get a lot of hammering. That's one of the things that we've complained about, but just seems to go. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Any comments from the board?
No. No.
I sent to Leo a rather detailed memorandum of concerns and follow-ups, etc., and we had some discussion, and he's followed up most of them and reflected actually the report he put down here. But I would like to have a discussion item on the next board meeting concerning the water shortage policies, etc., as to what is the philosophy we're going to do. This has been pending for a great deal of time. I know you've been working on it. But and I think you told us it's going to take you 3 or 4 months, about a month ago. I would like to have some sense of progress. Where are we? What assistance the board can provide in that regard? At council, we had a discussion with you at some last meeting or something like that, that you were going to look into alternate funding possibilities. Have you done that for the sewer project?
Yes, Anna Schwab from our DC office has been looking into those funding opportunities. We did have a call with Leo on that. We do also have another consultant engaged in looking at state funding as well. So we both were looking and exploring options on both the state and federal level. But we do need completion of the 30%, so we're...
I understand. Before you actually make the application, however, I would love to have a report of some sort at the next meeting as to what are the possibilities and what are the criteria for that. Our present consultant identified two sources. They could provide you with the letter that we received a year ago, etc. So you don't have to repeat that, but I would appreciate some kind of report, whether it's oral or written, as to what are the additional possibilities for funding given the new bills that were passed by Congress. I'm somewhat concerned with the level of progress made by our engineers on the sewer project, although they promised they're going to complete it within 3 months. So I would ask Leo to make sure that it follows them rather closely, that we were not going to be surprised at the last moment that they again have to postpone or they claim some additional charges. Other than that, I have no additional comments. So we can move out to the next item, which is a discussion item, which is capital improvement expenses. And I gather it is something I mentioned actually the last meeting, is to update our expansion, our capital expenditures for the year, what changes were made, et cetera, et cetera. Could you talk about that, Leo, for me?
Yeah, sure can. Give me one moment. Okay. Originally, the, for anybody who's, it's this page here. Okay, the top half is what was approved by the board through the budget process. The bottom half is the modifications that have been made since then. Once again, Strawberry Creek, we had $500,000 in there because we thought we were going to be able to move forward with that project, and as it turns out, it's probably going to be a whole nother year. We'll still be moving forward with trying to acquire the easement and the CEQA, so there's money available to do that. We transferred some of that money with the board's approval a meeting or two ago to the Jamison Pipeline so we could get phase two going and get that moving forward. The Foster tank that was approved originally, it's going forward. And we had an unbudgeted truck. That would be the one that got told. So that was also included. For the wastewater, the generator and the blower are still on there. One of the things we did add was the wastewater treatment plant property line adjustment and purchase. So we'll put the total in there when it's finally done.
Any comments?
Yeah, I'd like to change the truck to be the net amount.
Right.
Because we received, what, $31,000
right,
or $36,000?
So $10,000.
So make it a, whatever the net is,
yeah.
That's, I think, what should, we should be putting in.
Yeah,
right.
We got from the insurance $36,000.
They give us definitely make that adjustment.
No other comments.
Thank you.
Mr. Carpel?
No comment.
Okay, then we can move on to the next discussion item, and that's the sewer line cleaning. And you have some pictures.
Yes. Recently we had Houston Harris. About every 5 years, we have the sewer system video and cleaned. And this is just to give you an idea what a report looks like. The two, if you will, the two, the line with the two knobs on each end, that's from manhole to manhole. Okay. And then there's some verbiage in between what they found, things like that.
pictures are off to the side here. They indicate what you're, you know, they're actual pictures of what you see. As you can see, parts of it's clean, parts of it's not so clean. Okay, this is, I just randomly took this particular one spot. I don't even remember where this is, to be honest with you. What's it say, 243 Eastman.
Well, 50 to 51.
Yeah. So, as you can see, there's roots coming in. We have some various conditions. This is what we like to see. Nice, clean, easy flowing, no ionized, meaning water flowing in from the sides. This is not something we like so much. There are cracks in the pipe, which leads to ionized, leads to roots, and other things. This is definitely what we don't like. This is one of those spots where they couldn't even get, they couldn't even clean it up. So this will be a spot that we have to go and take care of ourselves. Oddly enough, things get through that to the other side, but it's not good. So we have to go in there and repair these. This is another scenario we don't like, grease. That's a nice pile of grease. Also, things have been getting through to the other side. Not good, not well, but has. So we're gonna have to take care of that as well. This is that more circle. Once again, this is what we want it to look like. So we're gonna be working on it to make that happen. We have some areas of concern. The Alterwood Street easement, Village Crest Drive, Oakwood Street, and Saddle Drive. I think Saddle Drive is the one we're working on first, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the first one.
That's the worst one. So we're gonna be taking, and what we're gonna do there is literally take out a section, about 10 feet, and put in a new stick pipe.
Which section was that?
Saddle Drive.
Okay.
This one here, just wanted to kind of give me an idea of what we're looking at. There's a little I&I coming in on this one. That's probably a better picture of it. That's water coming into the pipe that's, for all intents and purposes, dry. So it's water coming from the outside in. And this is what's, you know, this is what increases during storms. So you might have a little now, but during a storm, that could be a, you know, quite a flow going in. Here's another spot, you know, coming in from the sides, got a little grease in the middle there. This one, I don't know if you can see it, but that on this side, that white, that's water coming in. Okay, so just kind of to give you, to give people a feel for what we're talking about. This is Saddle Drive. This is one of the areas that we got to take care of. And it's going to be taken care of right away. Just wanted to give you a, kind of an overview.
Yeah. Any public comments about that? Public comments? No?
Everybody's on the board? I've got comments.
Wait, there are.
Oh, sorry.
I don't have it.
Go ahead.
Do we know the water table level? Or ground, without, you know, is it possible that groundwater? Do we know the level of that?
Yeah, we do actually in many areas. Because we do static readings once a month, okay? One of the, I can tell you, in some of our locations, we take the cap off, it shoots up about this high. So it's, you know, it's a negative. And in other places, you know, depending on the geography, it's down a little bit. For all intents and purposes, I don't know if you've experienced, but the water table's high in this area, currently.
Any other public comment?
Leo, with repairs or clean outs for those areas, one, you mentioned you're going to cut out of the 10-foot section of pipe and replace that.
Yeah.
And then, and that, the budget, is that a normal, that's within this project budget, or is that outside of the project budget?
That's basically within the maintenance budget.
That's
we have money in the maintenance part of the, just the operation budget to take care of, you know,
Instances,
okay. Little spots.
And then the clean outs?
The clean outs, we don't have
clean outs.
I was going to say, we don't.
Only a couple of rice tea, like, yeah, there's not really anything else.
So, I mean, when I talk about cleanouts, like the root balls we're seeing, the grease,
yes.
How do you remove those?
We got a hot jetter. Okay. And we have some other equipment that our guys know how to use. I don't. But they know how to use it and to get that cleaned out, and they take it out at the other end, so to speak.
Okay.
So we got that, and if we can't get it out, then we turn around and just remove the whole piece.
Okay.
How often do you inspect it?
Every year. We send a letter, and we request them to give us the letter from the... I want to take the grease out. If they didn't send it for us, we shut the water off until they start to do. And the biggest problem, we are the busy town here in downtown. We have all the grease trails. This is a problem, really. But good thing we track it every year. We request them to give us a receipt from the company. We will suck all the grease trail.
But the camera, the video things, you did that every year also?
No,
every
that's every 5 years?
Yeah, every 5 years.
Every 5 years.
Houston has.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she, Jessica, touched on it a little bit, just with the grease interceptor program that and Osmi.
Right.
We're, it sounds like we're up on that.
We're getting more up on it than we have been.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was now with different businesses going in or changing or modifying that might be food producing and creating grease, that are we doing audits or keeping up on that? Because I think there's like a new place on North Circle, you know, to make sure that...
oh, yeah. Now, we all the...
This
all
one was on North Circle, that picture.
Yeah. Anything new, it comes to us. We work with the county.
Yeah.
So they notify us that new restaurants going in. We work with them to make sure that they put in the proper grease trap that meets our what we believe is going to be needed for their facility based on what they're expecting.
To be
size,
honest,
everything else.
But someone might be modifying, so they've already got it for one item, and they're doing more a different thing. So I don't know if the county's involved.
Let us start with bona fide, like. Only the county fever side working this subject very well with us.
Yeah.
So any restaurant, they said go back to the water district, got their approval, and if they approve it, we bring the paper for health department for us. So they're working very good with us. So we sent the Danny and Fritz to inspect the restaurant, and like just we have a new restaurant just open, and Fritz was insisted to be a high, bigger grease.
Yeah.
So every time back and forth, and the county refused to approve it until either wife signed it. But they're working with us very well. But we request from everybody, like before we do it, I inspection, we have 72 accounts for grease trap right now. We request for them to give us a receipt, they bump the grease trap on the ground. If they didn't give it to us, we'll give them like a period of time, grace period, like 15 days, 1 month. After that, we turn off the water. So they are very good, actually, that is strong.
Yeah.
Okay, something else is like when they're, right now with them repaving and grinding the road, I saw in North Circle a bunch of manholes, the debris on the side of the road from that. How do we know any of that debris is not getting into the, down into the, our sewer line?
Well, I know that they're raising the manhole, but I mean, we inspect it when we put the lids back on, don't we?
Because I've got pictures of just as you go up North Circle now. I mean, there's just there's a manhole there and all the chipped out concrete or whatever.
They put a cover over it and then they put asphalt over it.
They're right, but when they're chipping it out, how do we know that none of that's falling down? That's gonna, and not that you might look down there and see it, but if it's coming down a little ways, that might be hidden until we have a problem. So how do we know?
I don't think we're gonna know that.
Okay, so then leading to that, if we have a problem later on, who's gonna pay for that issue that arises that maybe from them dropping down in there something?
Well, if let's just put it this way. If we go in there and there's a gigantic problem that we're having and we find out that there's gigantic lumps of blacktop, I think we could probably let the county know that we had an issue with this. But I don't know that we're dropping ourselves down in there to
I mean,
work.
It's a contractor for the county.
Yeah, I think they, you know.
Right, but I mean, sometimes with construction crews are working, sometimes things happen.
Sometimes. Yeah, a lot of times.
Well, I guess so. Just I'm just asking us to protect ourselves and what's going to happen, or is it justified to have after they're done to have the camera go up there again to see any of that, and if there is, to have them pay to remove this stuff instead of later on having a spill or something and then involving the regional board.
In my experience, and I'm just speaking about mine. I'm not. I don't have any experience with this here. This hasn't really been an issue. It's you know, because they cover the manholes, they pave over it, and then they rip off the top most of the time. And you know, we're talking like if they got anything in there, we're talking very small amounts. So that's been my experience. Up here, I don't know what that's like.
I mean, yeah, if you go up North Circle, you'll see the chunks. I mean, it's not.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I mean, I've seen them take giant chunks.
And I don't know how they're gonna. And just. I haven't watched them, but I don't know how they would get that away without something possibly going.
Well,
I'll go by there tomorrow.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll take a look.
It's a good idea. Maybe just check one or two.
We didn't pay any for them, so you can inspect it before we pay for them.
Mm-hmm. I just have one simple question. Do we have the ability to replace those pipe section, or is that we have the ability to do that?
Okay, stepping.
No, for any other comments, board, otherwise? So we go to number 5, which is the item we added.
No, and item 5 is the gate. Item 6 is the gate.
Oh, sorry, the gate.
Yeah.
Tell us about the gate.
Okay. First off, I got to tell you, I wrote it down wrong. It's not a double swing gate. It's a slide gate.
Sliding gate.
It's a sliding gate. I read it wrong, but everything else is the same. Okay. The gate we have is old, damaged, doesn't function well, and so we actually need a new gate at the water treatment facility. They're not cheap. I wish they were, but they're not. And you know, it's about I have it here $30,000 to have a new one installed with all the mechanisms, all the equipment. They got to pour concretes and some pads. Am I missing anything?
Iron, steel. They give us the 3,000 discount.
It's gonna be a nice Iowa Water District emblem with arches.
Yeah, we have the cheapest one right now, actually. So.
And this is a black powder coated.
Yes.
So this should.
But he gave us
a good gate. Should last a long time.
Yeah.
Did you get a quote rather than have it fenced?
Yes.
From?
Who was the other one from?
The one for in Hemet too. The company.
Yeah.
He gave us 42,000.
I don't recall the name. I remember it was.
Yeah, it is in Hemet.
Considerably more.
Foothill fence.
What was that?
Foothill fence.
Yes, foothill fence. This is the one in Hemet.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
I kind of forgot all about it once I saw the price.
But we deal with Hemet fencing, actually.
So anyway, this is the one we're suggesting and recommending. Any questions?
Any discussion?
Yeah, I got questions here. With the snow here, I mean, yeah, the swinging gates, we have a problem with the snow. I'm assuming with the sliding gates, we're going to have a problem with the snow. So, and maybe Jessica can help out here what they have up at Fern Valley Water Company. Because up at Alpenwoods, they have that gate that goes up.
But in our maintenance facility, we have a sliding one, but it's manual, like we've got to push it. But then up at our treatment plant, it's a push up. So I think when we get a lot of snow at the treatment plant, they leave that one open.
Yeah, that's what we have now, a push-up one.
You have a push-up one.
And it's so slow that you might as well just get out and unlock it.
Push up or slide?
Push out.
Yeah. Up at Fern Valley, up at one of the private communities up there.
Alpenwoods.
They have a gate that goes.
Is this going to be an automatic?
It's like $100,000.
Or is this?
Well, how do you know that?
It's way more expensive.
How do you know that?
Because I talked to the fencing company.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I would, okay, is I would like to get some more information, because I mean, that seems like with the snow, if we're gonna pay for automation and stuff, that it might be nice to have that so it operates instead. I can see the sliding there with the ice and the snow. You can have problems with that too.
This is 26 feet.
I'm not sure. It says on the
quote. 24 feet.
24.
It's pretty difficult to go like that.
Is it manual or is it?
It's a remote control.
Yeah.
And it'll have an eye, so when you're coming out, it'll open automatically.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And 24 feet is going to be.
Yeah.
That's going to be really big going up, and that. One of the reasons we didn't suggest doing that was because of the cost that's associated with it. The gate itself is so heavy that you're going to have a mechanism that can raise and lower this thing.
Yeah, the album woods lets one car in.
Motors are very
expensive. It's only room for one. It's like an 8-foot fence.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the fire department can get through. It's that close. It's really tight.
Yeah. And if this was a smaller area, let's say it was 10 feet, and we could use a lighter gauge material, that would be fine. But I would suggest that 24 feet with an iron gate, that's going to be pretty hard to do this. So I understand what you're saying about the snow, but it's not uncommon that occasionally we have to leave it. Yeah, occasionally we have to leave it open during the day while we're going in and out. But we want to have something that we can literally close off, when we're not going in and out.
So that's going to be two sides that slide?
No, one slider. So. One long slider. 26.
We were asking the guy for the ambulance because it's going to hit him. Mm-hmm. He took the measure and he said, coming exactly within your property. Because the guy parked the ambulance truck.
Yeah, right at the gate.
So he said, all the way, need to be all the way back, the same design. Yeah. But he's right, 24 need to be high in the sky to be.
It's
yeah.
Too much.
Two.
Have,
yeah,
two like flying wing.
Yeah,
so resisting going down.
Especially, I need to give the fire department the remote control too, because when we have the fire.
They'll have a key. They don't have a remote control. You put in a Knox box.
Okay. Because last time.
And by the way, inform Hemet Fence that the Knox box is not for CAL FIRE, it's for IFPD.
Very good.
You got that?
Okay.
And how does this work when the power's out too?
I think you can throw the latch and slide.
Yes.
And that's how all the ones I've ever seen are.
This is very important.
Yeah, there's a...
Yeah, you got to have the access.
There's a lever. It's got to be on the inside. You can't get it on... If you're outside, you can't get to it.
Right.
Because the box is on the inside where the
so stuff that might, is. With that length of that might be fun to have to push open manually.
Well, if there's no snow, it's not going to be an issue. I actually have one of those fences at my house, and the snow was not an issue.
And it's on a track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any further discussion? I will entertain a motion to approve the purchase of the gauge.
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Approved 3-0.
This will be added for CIB, Mr. Olson.
Thank you.
So now we go to item number 6.
This will be number 6, yes.
This is the emergency issue concerning replacement of the roof. Leo, could you tell us about it?
Yes. As you saw earlier in the picture where the tree came down, we obviously got some serious roof damage. We've got two estimates. One was for $68,400, and the other one is for $58,400. We've already turned this into our insurance. We have the adjuster has looked at it, but we haven't got our numbers back yet. We are recommending going with Frontline Roofing. They're the cheaper version at $58,400. The other reason we're also recommending them, other than just price, is they can start 3 weeks faster than the other proposal.
So it's cheaper and quicker?
Cheaper, quicker. We're going to be putting on, and just as a detail, the roof only has a 10. It's only a grade 10 right now. It needs to be a grade 24.
The thickness.
The thickness of the material. So we're going to be going to the standard of 24. So, and that's what's included in this price. So we'll be basically snow load efficient.
Is there any, well, I know you don't know exactly what the insurance company is going to pay.
Right.
You have some idea what's the range?
Have we been given any range?
The only thing he mentioned, a comment about the insurance always reimburse you what existing you have. This is what they say.
Right.
So we have a little bit of an argument back and forth. We're going to put a sickness, 24, but he said, you need to understand, Hosni, when we reimburse, the insurance reimburse you what you existing have your roof. But our defense point here, they don't have it anymore, 10 gauge, which is a thickness 10. They don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So he said he will work out to find out what he can do.
So you're pursuing it, and we expect a substantial amount of money.
God
willing. And insurance company paid.
What's our deductible?
Our $2,500.
75?
$2,500.
$2,500.
And one of the other things we're going to try and do, if they say no to the difference, we're going to say, well, you know, we're coming into compliance where we weren't before, so maybe that'll assist. And if it doesn't, maybe they'll meet us halfway, and if they don't, at least we'll still get it right.
And they will pay for the tree remover, too. That's what we pay for.
Yeah.
So removing of the tree that fell on it.
Yeah, not the 24
cells. No,
but the one that fell.
Fell on the roof. Okay. Again, I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make that motion.
For the 58,000 one?
Mm-hmm. What? Whatever the one that Leo recommended.
Yeah, that would be frontline roofing.
Frontline roofing.
Do we have a second?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries 3-0. And we have come to the end of our day. And I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
No. Director's comments?
Oh, director's comments. Sorry. I'm new at this.
That's all right. I don't have any. You might want to ask those guys out there if they have any more comments.
Any public comment, director's comment, anything that happened today? Anything which didn't happen today? No.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
I forgot to bring up that you're aware that I think the construction crew is taking water from the hydrant on South Circle right below Village Center. And
yeah, they have a mobile.
If so, they're paying for it.
Yes. Yeah, they have a mobile.
So there's no meter on there that I saw. So
I don't buy it. They're using a meter.
Huh?
They're using a meter that I'm aware of. I've seen them use it.
Okay.
So yeah, they move it around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I took a picture of the reading not too long ago.
Yeah, and they pay a deposit $1,500.
And they just had a bill for how much?
$1,500.
No, they have usage, that's why it's on the report.
Yeah, but when you charge them, because it doesn't come like that much, $100, $200. So I'm waiting to reach $500, but I have a deposit $1,500 from them.
And then the second thing I'd like on the next meeting, on the agenda, just a discussion item about when we go ahead with the sewer plant, having the next phase of the engineering done, if we want to have any other engineers or companies look at it too, besides the one from, I forget who we're using right now, to maybe get involved.
You mean after the 30% done?
Yeah.
Yes, for the next phase to see it.
Yes, actually that was one of the questions I had for you, because the way it works, they're going to charge us for the complete. The plans, we only contracted for 30% in order to qualify for the funding application, but they have 70% left. And they gave me an idea in our discussion that would cost anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000. So obviously, since they're involved, probably a new engineering firm has to relearn, would be more expensive. But I've asked Leo to try to look into other possibilities should that occasion come up. Other than that, anything else? Then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to the next regular meeting.
Motion.
A second.
All carries aye.
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 Thank you very much.
Do you want water? Yes. guys include your names?
Here's the deal. One of the things you need to do, you need to be on top of it. So when it's, you know, when you get 6 inches, open it and it clears itself. Close it. And then when another 6 inches, do a quick call, open it, and then close it and it clears itself. If you left 4 feet of silence, but if you stay on top of it, kind of like shop, you know, if you get to the 6 inches to the level, you're going to be okay. Much over a foot, and then you run the risk of it getting stuck. So if you're climbing over, because it just clears the way. It just clears the way. And then you can run into issues with it icing up. But as long as you remove it, so like Snowmageddon this year, we just because there was so much snow, we could